quickly get my spoon out of my cup of tea, so I'm not.
That may have been live. And so everybody needs a cup of tea. Everybody needs a cup of tea.
It's all right. You didn't need to hear the clinking of my spoon, but now you all will. That's fine. Hello, everyone. How are we doing?
We are doing well. I'm doing great, personally.
You're doing good, Jim.
I'm a little bit tired, but other than that, I'm doing amazing because it's been such a big couple of days in gaming news, which we're going to get to later on in the show, but because it's just so much. It's almost overwhelming with how much there is.
Yeah. Even in the last 12 hours alone, we've just been absolutely spoiled for gaming announcements / news. So, lot to talk about there.
That's it. But before we get into that, of course, we want to say hello to everybody out there, everybody watching. Hello, Gamma. How are you today? Hello to everybody that's listening to us through your podcast platform of choice. Thank you so much for listening. We very much appreciate it.
Hope you're all having a good week.
That's it. So let's jump into some bloody good games of the week, because I have been teasing this for a while now, because I've been reviewing this particular game, and I haven't even switched over to Scene yet because I wanted to
have a big reveal.
That's right. Have a big reveal. So I've been talking it up. I haven't really been able to talk to it because it's been under an embargo, but that embargo lifted on Monday night. Review went out for Metal Hellsinger. Now, for those of you who don't know, this is an amazing bit of game. Like, it's a rhythm rhythm FPS. So what that basically means is that all your shots have to be on the beat. All your reloads have to be on the beat. There's a mode called Slaughter, which is similar to Doom Eternal and Doom. Like, when you get the enemies down to a certain bit, they'll glow red, and then you can press a button and it'll just insta-kill them. And for Metal Hellsinger, that's how you can get health back. But just the music in it is just, chef's kiss. It's so good. They've written music especially for this. And then they've gotten people like Matt Heafy from Trivium in, Serge Tankin from System of a Down, so many other really, really great metal artists that they've gotten in to sing on and just perform on this track. And it's so much fun. Like, I just cannot tell you how much fun it is. And it's even the weapons as well. So, like, when you reload, you press the reload button and the guns will do its thing. But if you do consecutive presses of the reload button on the beat, it'll reload faster. Yeah. I've seen games like this before. Like, there's BPM. Which bullets per minute, which I think Menthonzo did a review on the Game on Oz website, gameonoz.com, probably it's a couple of years ago now, I would think. But that was more a roguelike sort of game, so everything changed a little bit. And as you know, not quite my thing, but it was an interesting concept. But this game in particular just, it scratches all the right itches for me. The music is amazing. And as Gamma in chat says, yeah, it's DMCA free because it's written especially for the game. And one thing I didn't realize as I was playing through the game, there's only real two voices in it. So two voice actors for the characters that get voices. One of them is Troy Baker. So there was, if you're listening at the moment, you might have heard a little bit of a... I'll get the word soon. That's it. You cannot escape Troy Baker. And the other one, there's a lady that does it, and it's Jennifer Hale, which are two, if you know voice actors, those are two big voice actors in the game. And normally, like, when you see a game that gets not only really good music and really good voice actors. Like, what was that one that had James McAvoy and Daisy Ridley in it?
Ridley. Is it 7 minutes?
I think so, yeah. Something like, you, normally when you get those sorts of So I'm just going to pause that video there. But yeah, normally when you get like talent of that caliber behind the scenes, the game is something different. Like the 12 minutes, I don't know.
Oh, it's 12 minutes, not
yeah.
7.
I was going to say, I thought it was something close like enough. Yeah. Yeah, when it, you get a game like that, it's more sort of story driven and more exploratory. So, and not like, I don't want to say like it's less gameplay, because it's gameplay, it's just different sort of gameplay, but more emphasis gets put on the story rather than the game itself, the movement and everything like that.
Yeah.
Whereas Metal Hellsinger is just this whole package of so much great stuff, and I wish I had this articulated thought when I was writing the review, because that's just kind of summed up how good Metal Hellsinger is, because it's not one of those games that takes a lot of things and does it kind of okay. Everything it does well. Like even the weapons, there's 6 different weapons. Each of them are different. Each of them get powered up and they get an ultimate ability that does something special. Like there's 2 pistols that you get, and when that gets powered up, it launches like a turret. You know, the shotgun, when that's got an ultimate, at least on a big shotgun blast. And yeah, it's so good. And the enemies they have different weaknesses, so you have to think about what weapons you're going to bring into fights as well. Mm-hmm. But there's also thing like you start off with there's a weapon called Paz, which is the narrator guy. He's a skull, and he shoots little fireballs in the game, and you start off with a sword as well. But you come across other weapons, like I said, the shotgun, the twin pistols. There's like a ballista type weapon, crossbowy type thing. But you're only allowed to, you always take your sword and Paz into the fight. But then after that, you can only choose 2 other weapons to take in.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit of strategy behind it about what you're going to be doing in that level. So if there's a certain type of enemy, they might favor a different weapon. Like, I did find myself gravitating to the shotgun, because mm-hmm. just the ultimate on that just felt great, like the scatter shot, and even like it would almost put the enemies, every single enemy in the game, into like a slaughter position where you could just tap your E key and kill it. So like to me that was good, but then you might want to fire faster, so you take the pistols instead, or you might the ultimate ability of the crossbow was like this big whirlwind that held enemies in place. So you could combine that ultimate with your shotgun, and yeah, it just worked so well together. And not only that, after you finish each level, there are challenges in there called torments as well. And you get these things called sigils, which make you more powerful. So I think there's 6 sigils in total, and you can level them up to level 3 each by doing these torments. And they're different things. Like there was one torment where your guns changed after each kill, so you couldn't actually swap weapons. You had it just you killed something, it changed, you had to kill something else with that weapon, so it forced you to use weapons that you didn't particularly like. And there's it was always a really short timer, and you got time added to the clock for killing enemies and stuff like that. And some were you had to use ultimates to kill enemies, some were you had to kill them with the slaughter attack. But it was just, they were so different and varied. Like the levels themselves were good fun to go through, but the torments was where I had so much fun, because there was times where you just go, oh, well, I almost made it, but just okay, so I've got to do this strategy a bit different, I've got to try and do this instead. And it was so good, and I could just go on and on and on about Metal Hellsinger, because like I said, it's not just it's the one thing about it. Like it's not just the music, it's not just the voice acting, it's not just the gameplay, it's just everything together is just so good. And if you can keep that multiplier up, so if you do consecutive hits on the beat, you build up a hit streak, And it increases your multiplier. So to start with, as you're going through the level, you might not have so high a streak, and the music is just sort of background music. But when you hit that level 16 hit streak, which doesn't mean you have to like it goes 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, so it's not a huge thing to do. But then the vocals of the songs kick in, and it's just, oh my god! Especially the last, the last song in the final boss fight is just so good. And look,
so you got to, you got to finish it like in the time you got to review it as well.
Yes, yeah. So okay. the embargo for the review finished on Monday night. The game doesn't come out till tomorrow, so there's still time, and it's on Game Pass. Oh, but it is just, it is so much fun. Like, I have absolutely loved this. And look, playing it, you are going to make comparisons to Doom and Doom Eternal. But that's not a bad thing. And I can tell you that the final boss fight in Metal Hellsinger shits all over Doom Eternal's boss fight. But that said, Doom Eternal's... But Doom Eternal's final boss fight was not the best. That was probably one of the weakest parts of that game. But it... Look, it... It takes...
I still think when you're putting Metal Hellsinger next to Doom, like in your comparisons, like that's still a really big thing to say.
Look, it is. There is still a level of polish on Doom that Metal Hellsinger hasn't got, because like it's a AAA studio that made Doom. Mm. Like they've got the time and the resources to do it, but that's not to say that there's not some polish on Metal Hellsinger. Like, everything works. Everything plays. In fact, the only complaint that I had about this game, and I put this in the review, was that I felt with the streak, because if you don't hit enemies for a while, your streak starts to slowly go down. And I felt that I was kind of rushing to keep that streak up, so I didn't stop and kind of really admire the beautiful environments, because they, like, each of the, they call them hells, so you go through these different hells until you get to the Red Judge at the end. It's just, they're so beautiful. Like, they're beautiful environments, and I just felt like there wasn't enough time there to sort of stop to admire the beauty of it. And how good they were together. But I could go on and on and on and on and on and on about Metal Hellsinger, because I just love it to bits. And even if it wasn't on Game Pass, I would say you should buy it, because it's just really good. But you've also got a bloody good game of the week there, Stormy.
I do. I felt almost... like, I almost laughed when you're like, so what was your bloody good game of the week? Knowing full well you knew, I feel like everyone who follows me on social media could probably guess what my bloody good game of the week is. And that is Disney Dreamlight Valley, which we spoke about this time last week, because we were talking about all the new stuff coming to Game Pass. And this game is still in early access. So when I went to play it for the first time, I'm obviously a Disney fan, but I was going to try not that steer away from what I thought of the game, because the game is being compared to things like Animal Crossing, you know, that kind of like farming, like you've got that, the element of like, you know, farming and crafting, and then you've got relationships and things like that, base building, you know, or, you know, house building and stuff like that. And for a game that's only been out for what, a week, I'm actually very impressed. I've been playing on the PC. If you purchase the game itself is free. You don't have to pay to play it. It is available on, I'm playing it through PC, through Game Pass. You can play it on Xbox. I think it's out on every console. And it's a really solid game if you do like games like Animal Crossing and Stardew, but it is enough of it, like, it's enough of its own game in its own right as well, without being like a copy of that kind of genre. So it does, I'm not gonna like do any spoilers or anything if anyone does want to play it, because there is like an overarching storyline, like there's a reason why you play as yourself, and there's some fantastic customization options when it comes to creating a character, which is always great to see. And you find, I'm going to say it very vaguely, but you find yourself in this place called Dreamlight Valley, and you meet Merlin, and you find out that a lot of these iconic characters that you've known from Disney and stuff like that have gone missing, and the place is overrun by something called Nightthorns, and you find out that you have magic and you need to use your magic to basically free the valley of this kind of evil, I guess, and bring back some of the iconic characters that are missing from this world back. And that's probably as much as I'll say about the story, because there's some really fantastic little Easter eggs and story progression things you'll find as you play it, as you go along. And it's done really well. I have only had the game kind of fizzle out me twice in my, I want to say, close to 20 to 25 hours I've played it already. Oh, wow.
That's some good time in there.
Yeah. And, I mean, again, this is on PC. I know I've got a friend of mine who's been playing it on the Switch. Obviously, being a handheld console, it's not going to, you know, you don't expect it to perform as well, but it's still playable. Like, they're still enjoying it. But, yeah, it's really great in terms of there's a lot more layering to this game than I was expecting them to be. In terms of, so as you clear out these Nightthorns, you accumulate an in-game kind of currency called Dreamlight, and that is what you use to open up kind of locked areas of the valley. And, you know, to obtain Dreamlight as well, you have to do different duties around the valley. So very similar almost to the, I'm trying to remember what it was called in Animal Crossing. It was like you would have to do X amount of jobs or X amount of farming or X amount of fishing, and you would accumulate a certain kind of currency. It's a very similar concept to that. Yeah. As well as that, I guess, comparable to, if we're going to talk about Animal Crossing, comparable to Tom Nook, you have Scrooge McDuck, and he has his own shop that changes every day, and it's got furniture and stuff that you can pop into your house. That's very, very similar.
Okay, in fairness to Scrooge McDuck, though, because I've played enough of this to get up to that point as well, he doesn't, like, say, oh, you should buy this. Oh, you don't have the money. Don't worry, I'll loan you the money, and if you don't pay me back, I'll take your kneecaps.
Yeah. That is true, but then at the same time, like, I will want to check out an item in his shop, knowing full well I don't have enough money, and, like, he will just be like, oh, yeah, here's this thing, but you don't have enough money, so, like, it's time to move on. And I was like, but I just wanted to have a better look at it. Yeah, I think in terms of the, like, it offers farming, fishing, mining, foraging. I feel like I'm missing something else in there as well. Like, just your general kind of basics when it comes to this type of genre. It's done pretty well. It's very simple. I would say it's quite approachable to a good range of different types of players in terms of, like, difficulty. It's pretty approachable, I would say. My only thing is, I think if I'm going to be really picky, there's a few, I don't know if you call it quality of life things, but things like there's cooking, which I don't know if I mentioned on a podcast before. I love anything to do with cooking in any element of a game. There's, like, little things like you can only make one meal at a time, and when you have, like, jobs that require it and you make X amount of meals, you're kind of just sitting there having to press the same button, going through the same animation that sometimes you can skip, sometimes you can't. Just little bits like that. But, yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see what other people think of it. I've seen a couple of people, I guess, I mean, it might just be Twitter being Twitter, but, you know, just kind of complaining about the progression of the game, but I haven't found that the game's gotten to a point where I feel like I'm grinding. Like, I feel like it does a good job of having you progress in a game where what you're doing feels worthwhile and feels achievable. I don't know, the little serotonin rush I get every time I complete a main quest or a side quest. But even the different layer the game's put in with having basically like a friendship kind of mechanic, where the more you work with a certain character or have that character help you in your quest, the more you level them up, and they have their own kind of reward system for how far you progress in your friendship, which is pretty cool. So, like, when you get to level 10 friendship with Moana, you get this really cool, like, Moana-inspired outfit, things like that. which is pretty cool. But the more you level up their friendship as well, you can assign a certain specialty trait, if you want to call it that. So, for example, like Goofy, he's my like mining specialty friend. Mm-hmm. So if I take him to the mines with me and we mine something together, there's a high chance, because of I've got him at a higher level now, there's a high chance he might drop a duplicate of something that I found, which is really helpful. So yeah, the incentive to level up the friendships there is pretty good. And yeah, like I said, I think this game does well in its own right in being like a good kind of cozy kind of sim-ish game of sorts, but still having a really cool overarching storyline. And they've already announced they're going to introduce in the next 6 to 9 months things with The Lion King and Toy Story as well. I just think Disney obviously have so much IP that there's a lot for them to play around with. So I think they're off to a really good start. And yeah, my only criticisms are very small, tiny things, but I'm really enjoying it. It's really fun. It's good.
Yeah, I must admit, when I was playing it, like I quite liked how it was starting as well. And I think I've gotten one of the characters that I've met at the moment up to level 4 in the friendship sort of thing. Mm. But I was kind of just focusing. I only played for like an hour and a half type thing. But yeah, there was part of me as well that was like drawn in by the fact they used Merlin as the character that you first met. So, because some younger people might not recognize him because he was from The Sword and the Stone, which was, what was that, 60s? 60s, 70s Disney animated movie?
God, I'm too scared to find out, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I need to find out now. But yeah, and it kind of felt to me like, I don't know, and I saw a you don't want to know, it's old, yeah, it kind of felt to me a little bit at that point where they were almost targeting this at adult gamers more than kids, because I don't know how many children would instantly recognize Merlin. Or if they might know the name but not recognize that he's a Disney property. Well, this particular version of Merlin's a Disney property.
Yeah. Well, I think it's fantastic. Like, they've got it. Like, obviously, I think Merlin, from what I've played so far, obviously no spoilers, it's the oldest character I think that I've met. Like, when I say oldest, I mean, like, in terms of the Disney movies that I've met so far. And it's interesting you say that as well, because my mom and my sister watched the new Pinocchio movie that came out, the live action one, and I felt a little disappointed, but I'm gonna call her out here. My sister didn't realize that the When You Wish Upon a Star song was actually the Disney theme that they played at the beginning of the movie. It made me feel really old. And she was like, oh, that's where that song's from. And I went, it is. I was like, how did you not know that? I think what you said, obviously, there's a lot of Disney adults that will really enjoy this. So even if you're not into Disney and you like the style of game, I think you will still enjoy it regardless. There's definitely a lot of Easter eggs when you chat with characters that reference sometimes their own movies, or sometimes you might catch, like, I caught... do I want to say that? I'll just say I caught a character from a fairly recent a recent movie interacting with Merlin, and I was like, oh, that's really cool, kind of like watching from a distance, watching them chat. It was nice. I think this game will have a lot of potential, again, with how many movies and characters they've got to play around with. Like, I can see this game being supportive for quite a while. I think there's just a few little bits in terms of, I guess, balancing certain things out, or just kind of making the process when it comes to, I guess, gamers like myself who have put too many hours into it in a short amount of time, just things to make the process a little bit easier when it does come to progressing certain types of elements to the game.
Yeah, and for me, like, even in the short bit I played, you could see it's got some of the typical free-to-play pitfalls, I guess you would say, and you can see that there's some potential for, well, it's got to earn money somehow. Like,
Have a system which they have just they have stressed that it's only for cosmetic purposes. and it's not going to affect any of the proper gameplay at all. Also, before I forget, DJ Drifter, thank you for the sub.
Oh, thank you.
5 months. So it won't affect the overall gameplay at all. It is purely cosmetic. So as part of Game Pass, I did receive some, they call it Moonstone, which is like their premium currency. Don't know how much it actually goes for, but anyone that purchases like the Founders Pass and things like that for it will obtain some of it. And they have their own kind of Battle Pass system. Now, because I have the Moonstone, I obviously was like, yeah, let's go all in. I'll play this game. I'll play this part of the game. And look, there's some really cool cosmetics there. But it makes me think, look, would I have paid for, you know, the Moonstone to actually do the Battle Pass? I don't know. Because the stuff is really cool. Again, because it's single player, like, it's not like I'm going to kind of show it off to anybody.
Not yet.
Maybe on stream. Not yet. Yeah. Maybe not yet. I don't know. It's interesting. I'm intrigued to see how many people do partake in that. I'm not one to talk. I've bought, you know, Fortnite skins and stuff before. But yeah, being that, again, they have so many movies and characters to play with, like, I think the world's their oyster when it comes to creating all sorts of different unique cosmetics and things like that too. So yeah, for a free-to-play game, fantastic. If you're looking for a nice cozy thing to get stuck into, I highly recommend it. Just don't forget it's in early access, so don't expect it to be 100% well-oiled machine, but it's really, really enjoyable. That's my bloody good game of the week. Disney Dreamlight Valley.
Awesome. Great to hear. I might give it another crack. Like, we're having a chat before, and like, I know enough to know that I enjoyed it, but one, I'm not a huge fan of like decoration games. Not a huge fan of that. Two, I'm not really into games that are time sinks that just say, cool, come back, do this, do your daily quest. The only thing I do that on is like, there's a couple of mobile games I do that's got a crossword and something else in it. Which, by the way, I've got one. There's a game I've got called Free Flow. And it's basically, you got to connect the dots and you got to work out the exact pattern that's going to do it, because you can't cross over and stuff like that. I'm on like an 1100 day streak with that.
Oh my God.
So I am not breaking that streak. It is still going. But yeah, that game will get me coming back every day. But that's about the only thing that, and that's because it's on my phone and I can sit there and go, cool, done. See you later. But look, it looks interesting. It's got a lot of Disney properties that they can tap into, and I can see it becoming, and like, I think at the moment, like, we're looking at a title card for it, and there's a lot of mix of old and new. So like, just on the title screen, you got Wally, you got Mickey Mouse, you got Elsa, Stitch, Belle from Beauty and the Beast, you got Scar, there's a building Buzz. That's got Buzz Lightyear, and there's Shay Remy, Remy's the mouse from Ratatouille. So like, there's a good mix, I think, in there of old and new. And like you said, like, I've seen images of Moana in the game and Maui. So like, there's a good mix of old and new. And I think because it's free to play as well, I think people are going to enjoy it. And glad to see it's your bloody good game of the week.
Oh, look, I've been looking for a good cozy game because, for me, Animal Crossing New Horizons just didn't hit the spot. And this is really kind of, I know you used this phrase before and I'm annoyed, but it really did satisfy this itch I had it for a nice, cute, cozy game like it. Well, so, yeah, well, I'm interested to see where it goes in the future.
I also feel that, like, Dreamlight Valley is different because there's this overarching story, whereas Animal Crossing kind of had a story up to a point, but it was very short, and it was like, cool, no worries, now you just do whatever you like. And some people did some really awesome things in there. And there's people like me that go, well, I don't want to do this. I'm not super creative when it comes to that sort of stuff. It's like when I get into Minecraft, I'm not building, you know, great epic things. The first thing I do is I dig for bedrock. That's it. Like, I build these stairs.
Oh, you're one of those people.
Yeah, I'm one of those people. Yeah. Okay. And then I start, like, I got bored one night in Minecraft, and I, what did
How did you get bored in Minecraft?
Well, no, I wasn't bored. Like, I was just playing around in Minecraft, and I just started digging a big open cavern. Like, I made myself a little house. I put my storage stuff in there, and like, it's huge. Like, it's ridiculously big and big cavern that I've just dug out underground. Like, not super far underground, but just like, it's, if you fell from the top of it, you would die. That's how tall it is. And it's
living life dangerously.
Yeah, that's, well, no, because like, the staircase is all enclosed, so I make sure I do that, because, you know, right. I've got to put doors on stuff to make sure that like the creepers and the endermen don't get up and like into my house. But yeah, so there's that, and I do like sometimes with Minecraft, I just don't know how to make enough stuff. That's my problem, and I don't know what's there to make, so I just resort to digging stuff. Yeah, I did have one like in when I was a lot of the way through digging this big hole in the ground out, like it's a covered in cavern type thing, and I thought, because I'm a big Stargate fan, like Stargate SG-1, and I thought, I wonder if I could replicate like Stargate Command in Minecraft. And so like I tried looking up maps of Stargate Command to see if I could do it, and I go, I probably could, but like I also like only playing on survival mode. I don't like I like to earn what I've got, so I don't like do the sandbox mode where you can just build everything. But that's just me. And we need to kind of move on, because I think we're both really into our games. Bloody good game to the week, thanks to Aussie Broadband this week. And we've got so much more that we've got to cover. First of all, so overnight we've had a Nintendo Direct and a Sony State of Play. There's some big news out of both of them. I watched the Nintendo Direct live last night because it only happened at 10 o'clock our time at night. The State of Play was like 3 a.m. So I just watched a replay of that this morning when I got up. But there's some really big games to come out of there. And I have to talk about this one first, because I think we all were great. I'm just going to play a little bit of a clip. Have a listen to this. I think everybody's going to know what that is, because it's GoldenEye, and it's back. GoldenEye is back. Oh my god. I'm honestly so very surprised, because like I thought it was coming, but not now. I thought it was going to come after the Microsoft Activision Blizzard acquisition. So yeah, I was not expecting it to come now. And so like the first I heard of it was in that's okay. Stormy's just dropped off the video for now, but we can hear. Oh, there she is. Cool. But yeah, the first I heard of it was part of an announcement for games that were coming to Nintendo Switch Online Plus expansion pack. So they announced, what was there? There was Pilot Wings. There was
Mario Party.
So many Mario Parties. two Pokemon Stadiums, Excitebike 64. And then they said right at the end, GoldenEye. And I just go, my God, I'm so excited for this. What I didn't realize was that at the same time on Twitter, Rare was putting out that, oh, by the way, we've redone it. It's 4K and it's coming to Game Pass.
I was telling you this earlier, because I was watching the Direct live at the same time you were. And I was kind of half paying attention because I was working, and I had the Direct up on my other monitor. And yeah, when I heard the Bond music, I literally, my head moved, like I would have got like, I would have like cracked my neck by accident, because I went, huh? I was like, it's James Bond, it's GoldenEye, it's GoldenEye. And
just a tiny bit of whiplash,
in a Discord, all caps, it's coming back, GoldenEye's coming back, because we spoke about this, it feels like maybe a month or so ago.
I feel like
on the podcast as
I feel like we talk about it every week. It's got to be a weekly thing, yeah.
So yeah, the fact that we got that news as well is really, really exciting. And yeah, coming to Game Pass too, like chef's kiss.
The only thing wrong with Game Pass version is that it sounds like it's local only. local multiplayer only. Which, honestly, I'm kind of there for. Like, my best moments of GoldenEye were round a mate's place, eating pizza, drinking shit tons of soft drink because I was too young to drink alcohol at that point. And just playing GoldenEye and on the couch co-op with everybody. And I just, once again, it's a couch co-op game that now that we've got TVs big enough to actually see what's going on, like that's, oh, it's going to be so good. I cannot wait.
It'll be really, really good. Did they give us a date for that just yet? Or is they it just didn't. Something they've announced?
They didn't. Okay. They just said coming soon, which may play into my theory that the only thing that's holding it up is the Activision Blizzard acquisition. So I would almost, because they didn't put a date on it, because in the Nintendo Direct, they said these games are coming in 2022, these ones are coming in 2023, and for GoldenEye they just put coming soon. So I would hazard a guess that as soon as that Activision Blizzard merger goes through, that we'll see that. Also for the Nintendo Switch Online plus expansion pack version of GoldenEye, that is going to have online multiplayer.
So
it's interesting that that's getting it with Nintendo's online. Shitty online stuff, but Game Pass isn't.
Yeah. That, like, when I heard that, I was like, oh, I was, like, I love, because exactly like what you said before, you know, GoldenEye was made to play, like, with your mate next year, like, the local split screen kind of thing. But I guess also the convenience, like, say you got a mate that lives on the other side of the country, and you want to play it together, and the only way you could do it is through Switch. Like, I don't know. I've played my fair share of Switch Online, and it hasn't always been a pleasant experience. Yeah.
And that said, I haven't tried the Nintendo 64 online stuff, because I think there's a few games that you play online. But I know the only... I've played Mario Kart Online, which seemed all right, but... Super Mario Maker had a versus mode, and that was terrible with lag. Like, it was just, sometimes it was just unplayable. It was that bad.
Well, hopefully GoldenEye will, well, I mean, I guess with the amount of people they know are excited for GoldenEye, you would kind of expect or hope that it would perform okay at the very least.
But let's go through some of the other announcements that came out. We'll start with the Nintendo Direct first and move on to the State of Play, because I'm running the show and that's what I decide is going to happen. I was trying to think of some nice reason, but really that's what it comes down to. I'm in control of what we see. So, you know, we're going to talk about what I want to talk about.
Listen, between you and me and everyone, I think the Direct was a lot more fun and exciting than the State of Play.
It had its ups and downs, I think, for the Direct, because like it opened with Fire Emblem Engage. Now, I don't know about you, but Fire Emblem just kind of like it seemed to come out of nowhere as a franchise. Like, I know it was big, like, in Japan.
Three Hopes, didn't it just come out? Like,
yeah, but what I'm getting at, like, as a franchise, it was just sort of cool. Here's Fire Emblem, the well-known franchise. You know, I didn't know this franchise. What the hell's going on? I've never played a Fire Emblem game in my life. In fact, I did a little bit of research before the show because I wanted to know where it came from, and there were two games on the Famicom, so which indicates to me that with the bit I was reading, and that indicates to me that it was a Japan only release. Then they had one on the Super Famicom, and I think the first time the Western world saw it was on the Game Boy Advance, which probably explains why it's not so big a franchise compared to things like Mario and Zelda, and just because it's a big in Japan thing. And, you know, Nintendo being a Japanese company, that's to be expected. But looking at this one, it did have some interesting mechanics, because for those that haven't seen or played Fire Emblem before, it's all about the relationships you build with characters, because there's so many different hero units. It's why there's so many different freaking Smash characters that are from Fire Emblem, because there are just 50 million of them. But
I'm playing Three Hopes as my first Fire Emblem game at the moment, and oh my god, the amount of characters that you have to form relationships with is really intense, and that's just one game.
And that Three Hopes is the Koei Tecmo Dynasty Warriors style game, isn't it?
Is it?
So it's like big hack and slash.
Warriors, yes. Warriors is like that type. And Three Hopes, from what I believe, is very similar. That being my first Fire Emblem game.
Yeah.
But it's kind of fun, but I know it's not like the original Fire Emblem style.
Yeah, so Fire Emblem games are traditionally like turn-based combat-y type stuff, which is cool. I do have a soft spot for that turn-based combat. And on this one, it looks like they have this ring mechanic where you can sort of fuse with spirits of other characters. Like, the only one I recognized as a spirit was Marth, and that's only because I know him from Smash Brothers.
Smash Brothers.
Yeah. but it looked pretty cool. But one that I know that you'll be right there for, Stormy, is the Resident Evil games that are coming to Switch.
Yeah, look, that was really unexpected. Again, like, I heard, you know how they do their little intros before they intro the actual reveal? I didn't actually look at the picture. I just heard them go something about monsters, and I was like, okay, what is this? And then I, see Resident Evil Village, which is going to be accompanied by the DLC, and then they're also bringing 7, 2 Remake, and 3 Remake. But, however, they are only via cloud. Because, I mean, let's be honest, the Switch isn't really going to be able to...
The Switch struggles with Rain and Grass and Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, so, look, I mean, I think for people who only have a Switch and want to play, in my opinion, my 4 favourite games from the franchise... Oh, no, that's a lie, but that's for another day. I think it's a good opportunity. I think the demo, they said, is... available for Village now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm just curious to see how it actually plays. But yeah, that was definitely not something I was expecting. Apart from Resident Evil, I'm just going to quickly make a quick shout out to this one as well, because I think it's a spectacular multiplayer game. Which should be on the Switch sooner, is It Takes Two.
It's so good. Like, I was looking at it and I was counting on my hand about, cool, It Takes Two's coming. That's on another, that's been out for a while. Tunic's coming, Life is Strange, Factorio.
I
thought of you
straight away when I saw Tunic. I went, yeah.
I really enjoyed Tunic right up until the point that I didn't. But most of the Tunic is just so much fun, and it's all puzzle solving. You got to work out what's going on, because it doesn't tell you anything. Sifu, I've seen, I think Gamma was playing Sifu on his stream a while back.
Oh, Grumpy and, was as well, I think.
Yeah, and from what I've heard, that's a pretty hard fighting game. So there's a lot of games that are coming. I put a Disney Speedstorm in that list, but that's still in beta as well.
Yeah.
So it's no surprise that that's coming to the Switch. What I was quite interested to see was that Splatoon 3's already got a Splatfest. So this only came out last week, I think. And so on the 24th to the 26th of September, which is next weekend, they've got a Splatfest.
Yeah, well, I think I read somewhere, and I'm just fact-checking myself now, is, the launch for Splatoon 3 was absolutely incredible. I haven't played... I've only played 2, but the reception and the amount that they've sold is just insane. I think especially in Japan. But, yeah, I love the support that Splatoon 3 gets, and I really enjoyed playing 2, and I think I'm going to have to look a bit more into 3. But yeah, Splatfest already. It's pretty exciting.
Mm. And as well as some battle pass, like Xenoblade Chronicles 3 was getting some DLC. Mario Strikers was getting a free upgrade with a couple of new characters and a new stadium. And the Mario Kart 8 Booster Course Pass Wave 3 was coming out, which if you've got the Nintendo Switch Online Plus expansion pack, you get that for nothing. And even Nintendo Switch Sports is getting golf added. So there's a whole heap of cool stuff there. A few remasters. Actually, I want to mention this one, because one of my annoyances with Nintendo is, where the hell has Advance Wars Reboot Camp gone? Mm. And I know we've had this discussion before, and I think Natty mentioned to me that the release date for the game was close to when the Russian invasion of Ukraine happened, and they didn't want to release a war game then. Well, what's the excuse now? Because they've got Front Mission First remake and Front Mission 2 remake coming to the Switch. The Front Mission First is coming out in November and Front Mission 2 is next year. But we still haven't heard of what's going on with Reboot Camp. I'm a little bit annoyed at that. But continuing on with some Final Fantasy VII remake stuff, Crisis Core is getting remaked, which for those, that was a bit of a prequel to Final Fantasy VII, where you play as Zack, which I don't know how to explain Zack without spoiling Final Fantasy VII, so I'm not going to bother, even though it's a 20-year-old game. I know, yeah, I don't like spoilers. And Final Fantasy VII is complicated enough with its story. It doesn't need my help. All right. But yeah, so Crisis Core's coming out. Story of Seasons, which is the basically Harvest Moon.
Can I just make a really quick comment? Because I'm glad you brought, like, I played Harvest Moon on the DS, and you know, clearly, if you've been listening, I obviously love my fair share of farming games. But oh my god, how many different farming kind of games did they announce at the Direct? Like, yeah.
I was gonna say something, but I hadn't quite got there yet, but I'm glad you brought it up, because oh my god, there were like five different games that had farming as a core mechanic.
Stop, that's enough.
Like, I mean, I know it kind of gets like, it's kind of the flavor of the month, as Menthonzo might say, but Jesus, like, there's a lot of games with farming in it.
I just wonder, no, I don't even think it's entirely related, but you know, I didn't actually realize until I saw a few people say this, but Animal Crossing New Horizons isn't getting any new content anymore.
No.
Which surprises me, given how big the game was when it launched and how popular it still is now. So are they just like, here's everything else to like satisfy like this Animal Crossing itch now that you're getting no more new content?
I've got a conspiracy theory about that, because I reckon, like, the Switch has been out for 5 years. I would be very surprised if there wasn't a Switch successor in the works. I'm not talking like a Switch Pro. I'm talking about a Switch successor. So the next console. So, like, part of me also thought that's why Breath of the Wild 2, which we'll get to in a minute, because we know. It kind of felt to me like that was getting delayed more and more so that it could come out on whatever the next console is for Nintendo. And like, that could be the same thing for Animal Crossing. Maybe they've stopped giving up updates for Animal Crossing New Horizon because they're working on a sequel for whatever next console. But that's the that's my conspiracy theory. Okay, so
everyone bookmark this clip of the podcast.
So when I'm right, I'll let everybody know about it. But we'll just get through the last couple of games there. I was happy to see Bayonetta 3 get a release date. Like, I didn't play the second one, but I played the first one, and it was very sort of Devil May Cry, hack and slashy sort of a game, but it was really fun. And
I have had several friends tell me that I need to pick up the first one, because they reckon that I'll really love it. So if you're saying that, I'm even more
just
convinced.
One thing that once you notice, you can't unsee it. Her clothing is her hair.
Oh, and, yes, I have been told that.
And every big attack that she does, like, I remember in the first one, there was, like, you'd go through the combos and there was this big boot that would come down and stomp on somebody, but the boot was her hair. But anyway, it's like, Bayonetta is just this good, fun, colourful ride, and I'm happy to see that's coming out. Now, they also mentioned that Pikmin 4 is coming out, as long with, they brought Miyamoto out from whatever retirement he's, well, not that I think he's retired, but they only tend to trot him out for some
the big stuff.
Yeah. Well, and not that I really call this big, but I think that they more wanted his star power for this, because he started off talking about
Pikmin, yeah, sorry, you go on.
Yeah, they started talking about Pikmin Bloom a lot to begin with. Now, I played the beta for that a while back, and I got bored of it very quickly, because it's another one of those sort of augmented reality games like Pokemon Go, where you walk around and you hatch different Pikmin, and you grow different Pikmin and you get the flowers and you feed them nectar and stuff like that. But like, and granted, it was the beta, but I didn't feel there was enough going on with it. And looking at what what Miyamoto was talking about in the direct, there's still not enough going on to bring me back to Pikmin Bloom. Like, I think Pokemon Go is in this very unique spot where just people want to catch Pokemon. And, like, I think that's just... Because they tried... they did a Harry Potter one, which I tried for a bit, but I'm not a...
The Wizarding World one.
Yeah. I wasn't hugely into that.
I have a confession to make. I have signed up for the Marvel one.
I'm willing to try them to see if they do anything different. Like, because there was a Walking Dead one as well with zombies. And, like, you clear out zombie herds that were going around and whatnot. And, like, yeah, they're cool. Like, actually, the Walking Dead one was probably the one that I felt like I'd want to do. But I think at the time that had come out and the Harry Potter one had come out. And there was a Ghostbusters one as well. And I was playing all of them at the same time. And I go, I can't do this. So, like, the Walking Dead one kind of fell by the wayside. But, yeah, Pikmin Bloom is an interesting... interesting one there, but announcing that Pikmin 4 is coming, like Pikmin is like a really cool little series. I like the puzzly type of it. Like if you've seen Tinykin, which I know Doom Cutie is playing at the moment, one of the game on Oz Riders, it's kind of similar to that, because you've got different Pikmin do different things. Like blue ones can survive in water, red ones are stronger, blah 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 blah.
Yeah, because you played Tinykin was your bloody good game of the week last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, I really liked it. I finished it over the weekend, and I really really enjoyed it. So there was that. I thought they were going to talk more about the Super Mario Brothers movie as well.
Yeah. I thought they were going to tease something, like show something.
Yeah, but because yesterday was even the anniversary of the Super Mario Brothers movie with Bob Hoskins getting a release as well. So, like, there was a lot of speculation. It's the anniversary. Let's go. Oh. Are you regretting that I've mentioned that movie, Stormy?
Yeah, a little. What did you? Here's a 4K like Blu-ray remaster.
Oh, no, it wasn't so much about that. It was more that it's the anniversary of the movie, so maybe they'll announce stuff of the new movie to try and blot out all memory of the old movie. Had that they one announcement that kind of sort of slid past everybody, I think, was that because they've opened Super Nintendo World in Japan, which is their big theme park. They mentioned in there that they're opening another one in California, so that's another Nintendo theme park, which. I really want to get to the Japan one.
I think when I was in Japan, well, it would have been actually just before COVID. You could see they were starting to do something in some corner of Universal, but you didn't quite know what it is. So I'd also love to add to that and be like, that would be wicked, because I don't know if you've seen much of it, where there's integration with like the wristband passes, and if you like hit one of like the question mark blocks and stuff, you get like, it's really cool, really unique. So at least the other side of the world gets something.
That's it. Well, no, Japan's kind of this side of the world. I mean, it's still like a 12-hour flight away. It's directly
north. Closer to Japan, so I only care about the Japan
one. Oh, sorry, I thought we were talking about the Japan one, not the California one. California one's too far away. We'll go to the Japan one first. But yes, then we got some more footage of Mario and Rabbids Spark of Hope, which is releasing in October. Kirby Return to Dreamland Deluxe was there to celebrate Kirby's 30th anniversary, which is coming out in February next year. And then, of course, the big one. Everybody was waiting for this. I don't know. Like, I'm just going to play this because there is nothing I can say that will. I must admit, like, watching the opening of it, part of me has gone, they've left it till last. Please be Breath of the Wild 2. Please be Breath of the Wild 2. But it. This one got it for me because, like, I can see that those are Moblins and. I forgot the name of the little ones. But anyway, I could see they're Legend of Zelda enemies. So, but, like, this boss-looking thing here looks totally different to anything in a Zelda game. So I'm quite interested. And, like, I dive deep into Zelda theories on YouTube. And there's a few that I watch. There's Hyrule Gamer, Bandit Games, and Zeltic. Zeltic's the other one. Zeltic in particular has this theory on that, like in Breath of the Wild, there was a lot of ruins that from a race called the Zonai. And you don't see anything of them anywhere, but there are so many ruins and so many different theories about them, and they're just so all over the map there for Breath of the Wild that all this stuff at the beginning looks like Zonai inspired stuff. So like there's already theories coming out, oh my god, the Zonai are going to feature so heavily in this game. But the big thing that, well, there was two big things that were announced with this Legend of Zelda. One, it finally has a title. We can stop calling it Breath of the Wild 2. It is now Tears of the Kingdom.
Is it Tears or is it Tears?
I think it's Tears because a lot of the motifs in it, like you see some of the earlier trailers where he's jumping up and through the rocks, it kind of looks like a splashing. So that kind of,
in my mind, it, because they're all like separate pieces, it's like tears.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, that's a good point. Like it's not kind of how you would, like the grammar of it to me doesn't quite fit with that though. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's going to be weird not calling it Breath of the Wild 2 anymore. That's for sure.
Yeah. It's going to take a while for Tears of the Kingdom to catch on. But then again, I remember when the name for Breath of the Wild was released, and it's just like, that's a weird ass name. What's going on here? And like, so, but I'm keen for this. I cannot wait. It's a little bit disappointed with the release date because it seems to have been pushed back a bit more again. Because it was, I think it got pushed back till March 2023, and now it's the 12th of May 2023. So
honestly, I think the opposite. I think this is sooner than, like, I felt like it was pushed back that much. I was like, look, I wouldn't be surprised if it was coming out next Christmas or whatever the case was. So I think May's sooner than I was expecting, but you reckon it's still.
Well, it's been, like, I got to look it up because I can't remember, but when
2018 did Breath of the Wild come out?
2017 was when Breath of the Wild came out, but God. I just want to know. Yeah, 2017 was when the Switch released, and it was the launch title for the Switch. I want to know when Breath of the Wild 2 was announced. Because, like, when.
It feels like forever ago now, hey?
Yeah. Hang on, let's have a look at Wikipedia. Wikipedia will tell me these things. I have more
time to actually play the first one now.
Yeah.
That's how I read it in my mind.
Have you not finished the first one yet?
I barely started it. I got, like, look, this was very early on when I hadn't, like, I would still say that I was still just getting into gaming when I picked this up because I got my Switch for, like, you know, the basics, like Mario Kart and stuff. Had Breath of the Wild, saw how open world it was, and I went... And then I put it down because I was too scared. It was like it was more intimidated by how big the game was. And I think I was just worried I couldn't commit to it. So I have to go back, I reckon, just restart however far I got, which wasn't probably very far, and then play it.
Mm.
So yeah, more time.
So Tears of the Kingdom was announced as Breath of the Wild 2. And I think from memory, it was just like a flash at the end of a direct or something that said... we are working on a sequel to Breath of the Wild. That was done. Actually, it was done at E3 2019 Nintendo Direct. So that's 3 years ago that happened. And wow. I'm just looking at the Wikipedia page for it. Game Awards 2020, Game Awards 2021, it won Most Anticipated Game. Both
that
times.
That long ago.
Yeah, and we're still waiting. But look, if it's as good and as polished as Breath of the Wild was, I'm there for it. I want it.
I need to see what all the fuss is about. I think that's going to become one of my next stream games.
Have you played any Zelda games before?
I played the Zelda game I played the most, and I mainly got it because of the art style being really cute, was Link's Awakening.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think I picked up a special edition of that one, which is, I loved the art style, and I liked that it was just that more simple. I think because it seemed a bit more approachable than Breath of the Wild. Again, it came down to a time thing. But I would love to go, like, now that Skyward Sword is on the Switch as well. I think I would really like it. I'm just not very clever when it comes to some of the puzzles, if I'm going to be really honest.
Well, so, and why I'm asking is because Breath of the Wild was a very big departure from Legend of Zelda, from what it had been before. So Link's Awakening is more traditional as to how Legend of Zelda was, because you... you went, you had a dungeon, you found the dungeon weapon, then you progressed to the next dungeon. There was a couple of things, like the original Legend of Zelda, you could basically go to, you could almost go to any dungeon first if you knew where it was. So there was a lot of choice and it encouraged exploration. Link Between Worlds was kind of the same, but that had a weapon hiring mechanic. So, and when you got to it, you found each dungeon and you would go there, and out the front it would have, you need this weapon to complete it. So then you could go back and hire the weapon and go and complete the dungeon. So you could go to the last dungeon, but you still had to complete all the dungeons. Breath of the Wild, and there's stuff like, yeah, you slash bushes, you kill enemies, you get hearts, you recover health, you know. And
I know is you don't mess with the chickens.
No, you definitely do not mess with the chickens, ever. actually, so I was just thinking there, because, like, I never tried to cook a chicken in Breath of the Wild. I think I was too scared to try it, but now I kind of want to try it. But Breath of the Wild was just such a departure from that, from how you regenerate health, the cooking system, the weapon durability system, and how in that first area you got all the runes to begin with. So you got your magnesis, and in the first hour of the game, you get all the abilities you're going to get. The only thing that improves after that is your heart containers and stamina and stuff like that. So it's a very big departure. And... look, just like I said, I'm here for it. If Tears of the Kingdom is going to be like Breath of the Wild, then I'm all for it. Just quickly, let's go over State of Play, because we've already been going for about an hour now. So let's just quickly go through that. So there's an article on GameOnOz.com that Doom Cuties put up there. So we'll quickly go through some of those. So the first one with Tekken. I'm really loving how Tekken's looking. I'm not a fighting game person, but I love the look of it. And even the trailer that they showed today almost looked like it was in game. Just with it was just missing the HUD around it. That was the only thing it was missing. It looked like that should have been an in-game thing. So that's going to be exciting for fighting game people. Couple of PSVR titles. So as a Star Wars person, I was very excited because they announced a Tales from the Galactic Edge, which there's a whole thing, like I was about to say Nintendo then, but it's not. It's Disney have put a whole section in Disneyland centered around this Galaxy's Edge thing. So they're going hard on that. But I've got an Oculus Rift S, and... one of the early titles on there was a series called Vader Immortal.
That's supposed to be really good.
It was really good for its time, but it's a little bit not so good in the way it moves. It's good as an interactive story, not so good as a game. Because there's bits like it doesn't move smoothly. It's just like it moves forward sort of jerkily. So you press the controller button in one direction and it just sort of teleports you forward, that sort of thing. But one thing I was very happy to see about Galaxy's Edge was that it seemed very smooth. And there's some blaster fighting it showed off, which was really cool. Demio was another one, which probably not a lot of people have heard about, but this is another VR title that I've played a little bit of. I've got on Steam at the moment, but it's basically a tabletop game. So you've got your little figure, you choose which class you want to be, and you move it around the table, you roll a virtual die to do attacks and stuff like that, and you get cards that you can heal or do extra damage. So I'm glad to see that's getting a wider audience, because I quite enjoyed that. Like a Dragon Ishin, which is a Yakuza sort of spin-off, that seems quite cool. Very interested to see that. Hogwarts Legacy showed off like a very spooky shop type thing, and like, I didn't realize it, but it seems like this might be an exclusive mission for PlayStation.
Yeah, yep. Which is, I think it's, I don't know what I think of having like just this one exclusive mission on one console. I don't know, that feels really weird.
I think it depends on what it is. Like Marvel's Avengers game that crashed and burnt when Sony got the PlayStation got exclusive rights to the Spider-Man character. I didn't like that, because if you're going to make an Avengers game and you're going to have a huge character like Spider-Man in there, it should be for everybody. Yeah. I mean, I kind of understand, because Sony owns so much of the rights to Spider-Man, that's what was going to happen. So yeah, it is what it is there. But exclusive missions in a game, like, it's interesting. I mean, I can look back at, there was that Ubisoft Toys to Life game called Starlink. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, yes, Battle for Atlas.
I really enjoyed that. But for the Nintendo side of thing, Nintendo let them use Star Fox characters. So you could get Fox McCloud in this game, but only on the Switch version.
You see, like, that, like, I feel like in that essence, that would be enough to persuade you to go for the Switch version.
Oh,
like,
and I did.
Like, yeah, like, if I, like, hypothetically was going to play Hogwarts Legacy, and I have no plans to, I don't think one mission is enough for me to be like, oh, I have to get on PlayStation now. You know what I mean?
Especially when the PlayStation version, like, if it's on PlayStation 5, it's going to be like $120. It's going to be so expensive.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm interested to see, like, is this mission actually, in terms of its length or the content, whatever it is, with PlayStation saying, like, oh, we got this, like, exclusive mission for this one game. Is that enough to sway people over to get it on the PlayStation over Xbox or Switch? I don't know. I think that's a really interesting move. I'm intrigued, so I'm going to watch from the sidelines and see where that goes.
There was also PlayStation announced they've got some rewards points in the form of PlayStation Stars to get some cool little digital things that they were a little light on the details of how you could accumulate them, but if it's anything like the Xbox One, it'll just be playing the game, getting achievements. So I'd imagine getting trophies in the PlayStation game would unlock stuff like that. The difference here is, like, the Microsoft reward scheme. I know of people that do that and use the rewards from the Microsoft scheme to buy Xbox Game Pass time. So they basically sit there and play new games, get the achievements, get these points, and then buy another month of Game Pass. Like,
yeah.
I've seen people that's a thing to do. So it'll be interesting to see what PlayStation Stars ends up like. Pacific Drive, like, this one, that one was an interesting one there. It looked very mysterious, so I'll be keen to see how that comes along. Project Eve has morphed into a new game called Stellar Blade, which also seemed like a mech sort of fighting. Also had mining in it, like, there were bits where you're going mining crystals, so there's a bit more farming in there. Ninja game, Rise of the Ronin. And of course, the big one that they finished on was the trailer for God of War Ragnarok.
That's going to be huge.
Yeah, have you played the last God of War game?
I started, and I did this terrible habit of when I start something and then I don't finish it, but I feel like I must. Did you play all of
I'm the only PlayStation I've had in recent years has been the PlayStation 3. So that was the last PlayStation I had. And so I didn't really get into, like, the original sort of God of War series. But I feel like you can almost draw a line between, like, the PlayStation 2 God of Wars. And it's almost, it's the soft reboot. Like, they still acknowledge that Kratos is the god killer, but like the last God of War game was almost a fresh start. Like it's totally different. It's almost a totally different Kratos.
Yeah, I should probably clarify. Like, I didn't stop playing it because I didn't like it. It's a game that I know that I will really enjoy. I love that mythology aspect to it as well. That's like right up my alley. Hades and things like that. Even Immortals: Phoenix Rising, like that is also calling out to me on my on my long list of games to play.
I've got that installed there. I need to play.
Yeah. One thing I do want to mention, just because we were talking about limited edition things last week, Jim, was they did announce, did you see the God of War Ragnarok controller?
DualSense controller? I did, with the two, like with the big wolf and the little wolf howling at each other.
And it's like blue and white. Like that is like, that's their first, that's PS5's first limited edition. I think I spoke that into existence. I'm going to take all the credit for it.
That's it. Yeah, Stormy manifested it. Yeah.
I know. I think it's really cool. I think it looks cool. It's pretty simple. Just give us the matching faceplates. I think Sony, you're missing out on something huge there.
That's it.
But look, the controller, I think, will be really popular too.
Yep. And the game itself looks really cool. Like, I'm not usually one to harp on about graphics because I would rather play a game with a good story and good gameplay over a game that had good graphics any day of the week. And in fact, there was a good discussion going on in the Game on Oz Discord today about graphic fidelity and how if games that go for really, really good photorealism burn out in a couple of years because the graphics and game engines move on. Whereas games that are stylized like Persona or Wind Waker and have that sort, or even Borderlands as well, they're more palatable when you play them 10, 15 years down the track because they've got that art style that isn't trying to be realistic.
Yeah, and it's very consistent as well. Like, you know, going between, like, if you play the Handsome Collection and you play 3, you feel like, you know, it's cohesive, it's nice.
But where I was going with that, I'm not normally one to talk about graphics because of those reasons. But God of War Ragnarok looks amazing. It looks so good. And, like, I wish I had a PlayStation 5. I really want one, but I can't afford one. And I can't find one.
Yeah, that's also the other big thing, isn't it? I think, I'm kind of glad, though, I know, I guess to the other side of the coin there, having games that are so good looking, like God of War Ragnarok, even Horizon Forbidden West and stuff, just shows how much the new gen consoles, or I guess in this case particularly the PS5, are capable of, which is really exciting. You kind of, you know, I guess this would be with any new console, you kind of expect your standard of what you're used to in graphics to be somewhat taken to the next level, paying for this new generation console. So I'm interested to, I'm a big sucker for photo mode. I got lost in that a few times playing Forbidden West, and I think God of War is gonna have good moments like that too.
Cannot wait to see these games. So the DualSense controller is coming out on November 9th.
Same day as the game.
Oh, the game's coming out then as well. I was just looking for a date for that. But yeah, that's good. November 9th as well.
It's in my noggin. Hey.
Cool.
Remembers some stuff.
Remembers the important things.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think that's a big episode for us. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Thank you for listening if you're listening to us on the podcast or watching live at twitch.tv/GameOnOz. Thank you, Aussie Broadband, for bloody good game of the week. Honestly, I'm going to go download, because I played Metal Hellsinger through Steam, I'm going to go download it on Game Pass and play it on my Xbox just because.
I think you've sold me on it. I think I've got to try it.
Well, and that's the good thing about it. If you've got Game Pass and it's on Game Pass, just download it. What do you got to lose? Yeah. That's it.
You can thank us later.
That's exactly right. Go and play it. Like, I'm going to get started again. Let's wrap this up before I start kicking off again. So thanks, everybody, and we'll catch you all next week.